here.
Yeah, I see Scott out there.
This is our second meeting of this new term. I'll start. Candy Schultz. I'm the chair, and I'm from the Highland neighborhood area.
Carol Hummond. I live on Fairview Southeast.
I'm John Latimer, and I'm land use chair of the Swan Neighborhood Association.
Nate Levin, and we live off of Winding Way.
I'm Kevin Ottman, traffic engineer.
Tony Martin, assistant city traffic engineer.
Kelly Richardson, staff assistant.
Andrea Madison, I live in the Highland neighborhood.
Beth Schmidt, I live in the Swan neighborhood. I do believe. Oh, it's nighttime. It's sun for you.
But it's still light outside.
Time to go.
You turned off the lights.
I'm magic. You might not know.
Ramona Murphy.
Ready?
Yes.
Which lights?
All of them.
Okay.
Oh, yay.
So where are you in the Swan neighborhood?
I live on Sonora Way. Mountain View is my crossroad with the house that was just made into the beautiful little pond, retention pond.
Yeah.
Oh, that's near me. They had the erosion with the atmospheric river after they put in all that landscaping, which was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, I'll tell you again. Ramona Murtha, Sunny Slope.
Oh, good, because I got distracted by the lights, so I couldn't hear. Great.
All right. First up, any changes or modifications I desire to the agenda, or shall we move on as advertised?
Can I have just a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
I would suggest we take 1A and move it down till the Scott Archer gets here.
Oh, that makes sense.
And go on with the approval of the agenda and the
minutes. Did you send him this?
I remember seeing the letter. But I don't know if I've ever seen much else.
He was supposed to be here.
Okay.
That's right.
We had that list of meetings he was doing. Okay. I just want to make sure he knew he was supposed to be here.
I was going to say.
I have a technical question. What does NTMP stand for?
Neighborhood Traffic Management Plan.
Ah, well, that's simple.
Remember we did all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The blue thing.
The blues.
Well, other than swapping item 1A down later in the meeting, awaiting for a presenter, see nothing else. Let's just move forward with the agenda as written. I don't recall seeing the minutes circulated from January 8th. Did I just miss them?
Yeah, they're in here.
Yeah.
I just missed them then.
Yeah.
All right.
They looked mighty fine to me.
Well then, I will abstain since I didn't review them because I didn't see them. But
I'll move approval of the minutes.
I have two requested revisions.
Okay.
On the long paragraph on the second page, in the middle of the long paragraph, the words "design standards on the website." Hotman then explained to the group how to look up the design standards on the website. That's actually not super easy if you're not familiar, so I'm wondering if you could just make those words into a link.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Okay, we'll add the link to it.
And then the other, the last full sentence of that same paragraph, consensus had been that vehicle traveling over the profiling created noise that was not wanted in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure consensus of who, because the members here felt like the noise was not a problem and it was the whole point. So if staff had felt that there were concerns from
I'll add past.
Not the word consensus, because then it's consensus of who? Past concerns. Okay.
We'll change that to past concerns.
But then if it doesn't, I think it didn't say that members did not have that concern.
Yeah, actually, I remember members specifically moving the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We were fine.
We'll say, yeah. Because, I mean, Ketsy in the end voted for it, so that's, it's clear. In fact, it's in our standards right now.
I agree that the wording is a little bit confusing.
Okay.
There.
I will.
Yeah.
We will add. Katsy had no concerns.
Okay.
Good. Because I recall that there had been consensus with prior CATSE as well as a little bit of agreement on prior comments, but those seemed to be out of date and CATSE had moved in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I remember that discussion going.
Okay.
You got it on there?
Yeah. But we'll change that to make it clear that CATSE did not have concerns and that it was past concerns, not consensus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we need a movement to approve the?
We do need a, or that could also just be a friendly request, and if you consent to it, it can just be modified without a second motion.
Okay.
I would
John?
Move that the minutes as modified be accepted.
Seconded.
Good.
All right. Going around, any of all in favor, aye.
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 Opposition? I'll abstain because I'll admit I didn't do enough reading to feel like making a vote. Passes.
So can I just clarify, that was still motion by John Latimer, second by Levine?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Just want to make sure.
No objection.
It wound up
That was a friendly amendment.
Yeah, it was a friendly amendment from Cheryl that John put forth. John then seconded. I think that's close enough to how it went.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I get it right.
Well, just a point of process.
Sure.
Maybe asking if there are comments before
that's
going straight to a motion.
Yes. Thank you for the note, Cheryl.
Okay.
I would be more conscientious. I see sign in for a member of the public.
Sorry, that was accidentally me.
No worries.
I saw a sign in sheet and got all happy.
Well then, seeing no members of the public, I will go ahead and open and close public comment.
Today,
unless you want to say
unless there is any correspondence
on.
That we ought to be aware of.
Okay.
Cool. Well then, let's move on to this question about changing time and date. Staff's recommendation. I'll turn over the table.
So I made a calendar that was attached with all of the neighborhood meetings, the council meetings, and planning commission meetings, and I made five big black boxes of times that don't coincide with anybody else. The one thing I did note is the fourth Thursday in November is Thanksgiving, so the fourth Thursday in November would be the day before, which we might not have the turnout that we would like for our November meetings. So
we wanted to leave it up to you guys to decide it. Do you want to keep things as we have it? Do you want to change dates to not have conflicts with neighborhood?
Does the time of in the evening work for you?
Yeah, the time
this time
works.
Is fine on Wednesdays for me.
Ketsy used to be at 7 in the morning.
Oh.
Nope.
I wouldn't be able to remember.
How about lunch? And you can provide lunch.
We provide you a brown bag that you can put your lunch in.
So I was the person that requested this because SCAN is a conflict, and I am participating in SCAN most months. I might be a board member if I wasn't here for half of every other meeting. So I'm the one that requested it. I'm the one that has a problem with tonight. Obviously, I've been coming. I've been prioritizing this and going to SCAN late. And SCAN also has a transportation committee the third, usually on the third Wednesday. And that would also, so that box right under that top Wednesday box is also a conflict for me.
Well, I personally don't have an issue with the fourth Wednesday. I think that still more or less works.
It might be problematic in November.
Yes. yeah, because the odd months, November falls on the odd month.
Last time I checked.
Yes.
Is there a reason? I mean, can we just switch to even months? Is there something locked in?
Is it in the
chart? We chose odd months because when you get to even months, there's more holidays.
Except Thanksgiving.
Yeah. the first and second, we could move it to the first Wednesday of the month because that doesn't interfere with yours. It interferes with NOLA.
If there are people here that don't care about a conflict with their neighborhood association, then that opens up more boxes.
Yes. I just selected the boxes that were unoccupied by any other neighborhood or council or planning.
Have we ever had anyone from NOLA here?
But you're correct. We could go to even if you wanted to do that. There's nothing. We just, like Tony said, picked this because it was less holidays that conflicted with stuff. But yeah, the calendar's open for you guys.
Yeah, I personally think there's fewer conflicts with Wednesdays on even months because most other holidays fall on Monday or Friday.
There's a calendar right there on the wall with all of the holidays.
Christmas is always kind of a wild card.
So, yeah, nothing in April.
It's like there's nothing on Wednesdays at all.
Right, so I guess that's the problem
with
Mondays.
We could pick even on even Wednesdays.
Yeah, we're here, whatever works best for cats.
Yeah, honestly, if we go with even month on the third Wednesdays, there's pretty much never a chance of that running into Christmas, which would be the biggest concern. Mm-hmm.
But that's a direct conflict for me for SCAN Transportation Committee.
So it can be, yeah. If no one's particularly tied down to the NOLA, then there's always the ability to revisit this if members of NOLA do wind up joining CATSE in the future.
And the first Wednesday, I think 1, 2, 3 would occasionally would be Independence Day.
That's true of any.
Yeah,
anything.
We're gonna work through. Yeah, we'll work through a holiday.
Yeah, we can
sometime
always
on the month.
Yeah, we can always call in a special meeting
and
for a different day.
Or just cancel it if we don't have anything going on.
Yeah. It sounds like the first Wednesday does the most to minimize current conflicts with this group. Are there any other proposals out there?
So what is the proposal? Changing it to even months? Or
even months first Monday, or even months first Wednesday.
Okay, just for, to get a motion and have discussion and.
Yes. So yeah, I'll invite a motion for even months first Wednesday if that seems to be where we've landed.
I move to move the meetings to the even months first Wednesday.
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposition?
Who made the motion?
Ramona.
Thank you. And the second was by Andrea?
Yep.
Okay, and so we'll need to give us some time because next month becomes even and it's going to be short turnaround. I don't know if we'll be ready.
So you either do a lot or a little.
So just, we'll let you know.
So that meeting would be in 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might work out okay, but we're
actually they would probably be happy if it got shortened.
Okay,
so we may have a meeting in 3 weeks then. All
right.
Because I do have a parking issue to bring.
We have a hearing.
A hearing.
Ooh.
So
yeah.
No second possible.
All right. That works for me.
Okay. Ever onward.
That resolved. Looks like we're revisiting the NTMP. Staff, what do you got for us?
So, again, this was Cheryl who brought this query. It was uncontrolled intersections at 3 or 4-way stops, or 3 or 4-way intersections with no stop signs. Where are they? How many are there? What's current city policy? Is there a GIS layer that could be added to an online map? So, they're everywhere in the city. There's a lot. The short answer, there's a lot of intersections. Some are stop controlled, some aren't. We don't have them mapped. Historically, and this is why we have the NTMP with the stop sign plan program that we went through several years ago, is because our past practice in residential neighborhoods was we don't install stop signs because we want people to slow down and yield the right of way to the vehicle on their right according to the law. But as we've moved forward past 2020, drivers don't know who has the right of way. I have the right of way because I'm entitled, and they blow through. So now we're to the point where we have to tell them who has the right of way. So we have to install stop signs. So that's the NTMP part of this, is that we have an online presence where people can make a request for stop signs or neighborhood stop plans. And we evaluate them and we look at them, and then Kevin and I will lay out where to put the stop signs, and then we go to the neighborhood association and we get support, and then we send notices out to the people at the corners and let them know that we're going to do this, and we look for feedback. And we did four last year?
Yeah.
I think we did four around town.
Four neighborhoods that have multiple
stop
signs.
So the way we do the neighborhood stop sign plan is we pick an area that is cordoned by collectors and or arterials or railroads or creeks or things where people aren't coming in, so that we have a boundary. So it's easy to fix that. So we go through, and that's what we did, is we had like four neighborhoods. One was in South Salem, up in Pikes Pass, and
two of them are off Arlene. So we had five. And okay. We have Englewood.
Yeah, we did
one.
Yeah, around Englewood School.
And then Myrtle.
Myrtle. So we did five last year, and those signs are all installed. And I haven't heard any negative comments.
No.
So was the Fay Wright area, like between Lone Oak and
Browning?
I don't know what's over on the west there. Like Arlene?
Yeah, we did around Arlene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because one I noticed riding through there month ago.
So there was actually is two separate areas.
One
is on the east side of Lone Oak and one is on the west side of Lone Oak.
Okay.
How do we change users anymore?
Click the arrow.
It did. It just says password.
Okay, so.
Oh, no, I just.
Then hit that. Power. Restart. She forgot to log out.
Oh, okay. I was just going to go. We can show you the plans. But I think what Tony's saying is we are going to start mapping some of these things. I think that will be helpful. For the people that are requesting them to see that we're doing projects, because we did five neighborhood stop plans, we did three speed bump locations, and we've got High Street kind of on hold as SCAN reconsiders what's going on there. And then we have some radar signs on Browning. And Salem Heights.
There's already in their speed control or slowing at Browning and Idlewood or Alderbrook. Because that's where Fay Wright School is.
Yeah, we have school flashers there.
Right.
Yeah.
So these are the feedback radar signs. You know, your speed is.
Oh, sure.
Tell you what your speed is. So, one of them is on Browning on either side of Lone Oak, because it's a school zone also,
right.
And then the downhill direction of Salem Heights. And
I was going to go to the maps that you created for the different projects.
So. Okay.
Have you ever had anybody request that you take out a stop sign?
No.
Or stop sign?
No, they request them to make them four-way.
So I have to tell you that the majority of problems that I have at intersections is one where it's there is no restriction on one direction and the other direction has stop signs prioritizing the street that you're on, and invariably that the people will blow through that stop sign.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we can't fix that.
Exactly.
Yeah. As much as
I was thinking of something in terms of automated spike strips.
Yeah, I've actually heard that from many of the guests. I mean, residents in the neighborhood. You know, they're speeding. You know, then it pops up, and but then they lose control.
You
and
could put a neighborhood sniper there that would take them out.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. Arlene was done as...
You must be from Oregon.
Arlene was done as two projects because we have Lone Oak, which is a collector in the between. So we did kind of this as one neighborhood here between Boone and Rubitz. And then we did this one over here.
Rubitz, Boone.
As a separate one.
Yeah.
So we did that one, and then we did...
Inglewood.
Yeah, I was going to stay south, okay. So gotta find it again.
Yeah, it's Landau. Keep going south, so.
Okay, and then we did this neighborhood here. And we had a lot of long-term problems with this intersection, where we just had... This was a new addition, and this was the kind of historic right-of-way. Well, when you're coming down the hill and somebody's coming out of Soapstone, the people on the hill assumed that everybody stopped for them because that was always the way it was. And
so I was here first.
We had a lot of park crashes here, not enough to meet the warrants for it, and so that was a lot of frustration. And that's why we were happy that the NTMP allows us to do neighborhood plans, because then we ended up stopping everything in here, and that worked out well. Inglewood is another. So this was another neighborhood kind of bound by D and 17th.
In here there's no streets that connect from 23rd over, so this is kind of our boundary, and then D, 17th, and Market. So that's our box that we get to.
You are a troublemaker today.
And then the other one we did was off of, was that our lane off of here somewhere?
Hi, Vance.
Oh, Spruce.
Yeah, so we did this area right in here, Maple Laurel.
Yeah, so the railroad is our boundary, and then Pine, Highland, and...
And this one had, I think everything was stop controlled except for like two.
Yeah, so and that's the other thing is we'll have neighborhoods that have one or two random stop signs that are very often more politically driven from the 70s, because... You know, we don't know why they're there. Mm-hmm. You know, someone got a hold of their counselor and they mandated that we install stop signs. So this helps with a consistency through the neighborhood. And the idea, for those that weren't here when we were developing it, is if we have a nice grid system, we would drive two blocks, stop, drive two blocks, stop, drive two blocks, stop in the east-west, and then we'd do the opposite. So you drive two blocks, stop, and it would just be... call it a basket weave, for lack of a better term, but it makes sense. Since we don't have, we have very curvilinear streets, it's more challenging. So we do the very best we can. We try to keep the distance between stop signs 600 feet, plus or minus. Sometimes we have to go to 900 just because of the way the streets are laid out, neighborhood streets.
And then Rogers Lane here was the speed bump one.
I can say that the citizens along Rogers Street are just beside themselves. They're just so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no word to us is happiness in our minds.
Yeah, that's, yeah, no news is good.
So, wait, for those of us who are not...
Familiar? West Salem?
I figured the Northwest.
Yeah, Wallace Road, so the city limits is like right here.
Okay.
This is
Salem Town?
Salem Town here. So it's just right as you're leaving town. Heading towards Newburgh and stuff. So here's, here's a bridge down here. So it's way up here.
So this is a lot of new, brand new single family housing up here, and the residents would use Rogers Lane as a
quick
as a way to get back into
as a,
that.
As a very quick shortcut.
Yeah. And then the other speed bump locations are right here on Weathers and Tierra. So people, because Market Lancaster is such a busy, congested intersection, people would cut.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. I've cut myself a bunch of times.
Yeah, well, so you can still do it.
You pay taxes for all the roads.
Have to slow down. So this was, so we did speed bumps here and then speed bumps here. And then, so those are the three speed bumps, and then the speed radar signs are off of Salem Heights in this area, west of Liberty, and then Browning, I think, down near the school.
Yeah,
is where we're going to be adding.
On either side of Lone Oak.
Yeah, so which is right.
So I think you've already answered a question that I had, but it seems like even in newer developments up until 2020, the general rule was new local streets don't get stop controls.
Correct.
So there's no real pattern between, say, development age and the amount of signs in the neighborhood. It's a little bit more haphazard than that.
Except now. I mean, once we started the MTMP process and we were getting the direction to do neighborhood stop plans, we started incorporating
so 4 years
are
newer.
Subdivision.
Yeah.
5 years are newer.
Yeah.
Well, this went into effect in 2024.
So in 23 we were doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we knew it was coming.
So I'm sorry, we're kind of speaking over each other. Can you just repeat what you are doing now?
In new subdivisions, we are requiring stop signs to be installed.
Okay.
As part of the subdivision plan.
And in some sense, as sensible a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guidelines and whatnot.
Yeah. And it's easier that way because the residents move in and there's the expectation. Now they've grown up. It's not like we've changed something that they're used to. That's the hardest part is making a change like... Nate says is, you know, people are used to doing something and you put a stop sign there, it takes them a while to kind of recognize the changes.
If they follow the signs. If they read.
Or if they care.
Yeah. And so the other thing is we're probably going to, sometime later this summer, coming back to you with the next list of projects that we're going to be looking at, so we'll give you guys a heads up on that.
The thing that I'll note as the counterpart to Nate's first-person experience with these plans being implemented is I live near Spruce, and so in that neighborhood where there was already intermittent stop signs, I've actually seen compliance is pretty decent because we're already used to stopping at a handful of streets. It's just gotten a bit more orderly.
Yeah.
So it could be also a thought process that we want to implement is maybe filling in those is a little bit easier because compliance, at least anecdotally from what I've seen, seems better.
Well, we like the stop. I mean, we like the neighborhood stop plans because it's cheap, and it does affect a big area. So we're not just focused on one road.
And our crews can do it. We don't have to contract it.
Yeah. Before we installed, we had one complaint about a stop sign, but the stop sign actually hadn't been installed. He was complaining that he wanted it. So we had misconstrued that we thought he was complaining that we didn't put it the way he wanted it. And then we realized, well, we hadn't installed it yet. And then we installed it the way we were going to, even though it was against what he did, and he never came back and said anything.
So all five of the neighborhood stop sign
areas
mm-hmm. happened via the process where the neighborhood initiated it and went through
the
process.
Actually, the citizen residents initiated.
I don't mean neighborhood. I didn't say neighborhood association. The
okay.
neighborhood.
Yeah.
Citizens of the neighborhood initiated it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a GIS layer for speed bumps and speed humps?
We don't yet.
Likewise? No.
Yeah.
Okay. When you do, could those be added to online GIS for the public?
Probably.
I think we're gonna want stop signs and speed humps.
Yeah, I think we can. And we've got, I don't know that they're public facing, but we have like all of our streetlights mapped.
on ownership and stuff, because we'll have complaints about them being out, and we can quickly find what light they're talking about and then figure out if it's the City Crew or PG or Sam Electric. So we have that. I'm assuming we would make our neighbor traffic management public facing, like a zoning map.
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's, yeah. it's not a secret.
And we like to show that we've done stuff. So
we would probably show where stop signs are rather than are
right.
not.
I think it would help, you know, a group of neighbors or a neighborhood association to just have a map that shows what's there and not have to kind of go around and map it yourself. Like, I know what's on my street. I don't know what's on the next street.
Yeah.
That's a big map for Swan.
Yeah, so we can go. Yeah,
this is where you would submit.
So you can see all the requests here.
Okay.
So the blue are speeding, red is stop signs. So the blue is requests for speed bumps or feedback.
Oh, you can't do the speed bumps that many.
I know. That's why we only can do a few a year. And, you know, speeding is an epidemic. I mean, and, you know, it's law enforcement that we're lacking,
yeah.
not speed bumps.
Yeah. So, for instance, you were asking about the neighborhood asking for stop signs. So they would just pick an intersection where they wanted a stop sign. So, for instance, one that we get lots of requests up here. You know, any one of these would just trigger the fact that we include the whole thing.
Sure.
Because that's...
Actually, this would be two sections because 49th is a collector. But this is a new subdivision. This was one as I wish it would have come in about a year later because we would have just done a stop plan as part of it. But we have lots of complaints up here, as you can see by the dots.
So blue dots are speeding. So there's four blue dots on 45th going through, and then stop signs. People aren't stopping. I was almost hit. I was in a close call. You know, it's like.
So this is one that we're real interested in doing in the future.
So how do those people who clicked the dot to add it to the map? How do they know? Or figure out that they should communicate with each other and submit a request through the process.
The dot is the request. They don't need to collaborate.
Yeah, you.
So you'll look at that cluster. You'll consider that to be an active request. Mm-hmm. You'll say like there's 20 red dots there.
It's not a popularity contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if there's one.
No,
red
there's
dot,
a cluster of.
But if there's
dots.
One red dot, we look at it.
Yeah. We look at all of the requests, and then we will score them based on the criteria that Katsi helped design, which had to do with speed and volume and about nearness to school and stuff. And then we develop that list based on the scores, and then we come and talk to you about these are the projects that we'd like to look at. So
that was one of our best meetings.
Yeah. So it just takes one. Just because there's like all these red dots doesn't mean they're getting special treatment or
they don't get more points for more dots.
Yeah, there's not a popularity contest. It just takes one request for us to analyze it and score it. And if it's a great request but there's only one complainer, it still scores high, we're still gonna want to do that because that's a top scoring one.
Well, do you bring those to CATSI?
The first group we did based on past history, so we hadn't done a lot of scoring. Yeah. This next group, we're going to bring it through like we developed the neighborhood traffic management plan.
Yeah, the last year's, those last projects, that was our maiden voyage.
Yeah, so we didn't have a lot of data.
We're learning our process. Okay.
Are there any other
questions? All of these blue ones we will take traffic counts on.
We collect speed and volume data so that we can evaluate them and weigh them against each other.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except these dots way out here.
We're not doing the county stuff.
high five.
Yeah, we're not doing that one.
You're not putting a speed bump on I-5? Why not?
Yeah, I think ODOT might get upset about that.
I think it will, you think?
We'll get mad no matter what you do.
I know.
Are there any other outstanding questions? Because I think the only other thing that I would maybe know, just having kind of talked through this and looking at, don't want to be a popularity contest, but also don't want to ignore that there could be some value in acknowledging a density of... I know that when I was deliberating through this, I didn't... You know, we didn't really have this map fully developed in front of us. We had a version of it, but this is a bit more populated than it was at the time. There does seem to be almost like a density or a... like some inherent value in noting that there are just places where people are complaining a lot. I'm not saying it should be weighted, but maybe there should be some thought process related to, like, ask if there seems to be an area where there's a lot of concern coming in, but it's not scoring high, maybe that's something that CATC requests to have, like, the Neighborhood Association look at and see if the Neighborhood Association has some idea what's going on there.
Well, here's another one with Burley Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the fact that a lot of these neighbors talk to each other. And mm-hmm.
Go put a dot. I'm going to put another dot. I'll put another dot.
So, I mean, we could take a look at that, but I would be concerned that we get into these bidding wars.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because
the more people you call, the more dots we get, the higher we score. No, that's not.
Yeah. I would not advocate making it a score, but I also would not necessarily advocate ignoring it if they're calling it in from like a bunch of different intersections in the same area and they're spreading it out.
We don't ignore them.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know, whether it's 1 or 20, if they score high, then that to us means there's a problem.
How many of them go take this to their city councilor?
None yet.
None.
No.
I mean, we
you're lucky.
We have the process that council directed us to put together.
Well, and the nice thing is you know, if you have a concern, nice thing for staff is if you have a concern, you know, you can see the data. So we have counts. You can go and take what is, and then you can compare it. And, you know, as a citizen, you know, you have your concerns, but then you also recognize that, okay, this one's higher than me because look how fast people are driving on that street, or look how much traffic.
I mean, I take the calls quite a bit from people. As people are speeding into my street, and you know, I live on a cul-de-sac, and the guy at the end races up and down, and my kids play. It's like, okay, I understand. That's the most important thing in the world. You have 40 cars a day, and you have one vehicle going over 25 miles an hour. You go to another street that has 1,200 cars a day, and you have 95% going over 25 miles an hour. Where do we spend the money? What's the priority?
Sure.
And I get, you know, that neighbor could go talk to theirs and put 50 dots on a cul-de-sac, but that's not where the money's going to go. It's not going to score very high. So that's why we've established that criteria.
The only one I remember where we, at the Neighborhood Association, had an impact was Salem Heights. Because that was a big issue with the way that's configured.
And I think we got a good product.
Yeah.
You know, some guidance to improve the road when funding becomes available, and we
got streetlights done.
We got streetlights a while back, and so we made incremental process, you know, improvements.
People who drive will find a way. The problem they were trying to get around was the light at whatever that street is.
Sound lights in Liberty?
Bless you.
It's not Liberty. I guess it is Liberty.
Down at the signal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. North, south.
So anyways, so we just wanted to kind of acknowledge that we, you know, we are going to map a lot of this stuff as well.
Well, I think neighborhood associations can help you as much as hinder you. If, you know, you can make the argument, and I think most of them will be fairly reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not had any problems with neighborhood associations.
Any thoughts about whether we're going to see a presentation from Scott?
I went and printed the agenda, and it says right here, Wednesday, March 12th, that's today, Scott attending, CATSE, 6 p.m.
Anybody talk to Scott?
It does say that he was talking to the Library Advisory Board at 5 p.m.
But
I don't know where Library Advisory Board meets.
I'm assuming they
probably in the library.
I'm thinking the library, so it's not like it's that far. And he was going to be there at 5. If it took an hour, that would be 6. That should have put him here a little after 6.
Yeah.
So we apologize. Since we're having a meeting in 3 weeks.
I have 2 questions.
Yeah.
Can I ask them now? I waited.
Well, you have to ask the chair, not us.
Okay.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay. I want to know if you, since we met last, have gotten reports from the police regarding pedestrians hit by cars. Have you received any?
No.
Okay. So there has been pedestrians hit by cars and injured but not killed, so you haven't gotten them, right?
That I couldn't say.
No, you haven't gotten them?
Well, I know there was a transit bus that hit a pedestrian.
Yep. That was a fatality.
Yeah, and I can't think of...
And we don't get police reports.
Unless we ask for them.
It's not an automatic that every crash that occurs, we don't get the reports.
How do you feel about that?
Well, we'd like to see them, but that's just...
But that's just, you know, they kind of keep it to themselves unless we request specific ones. And, why do you need it? It's like, so.
That's what they say to you?
Well, I mean, we can ask for it.
Yeah. Normally, if I know there's been a pedestrian hit, we'll ask for a police report. And then sometimes the public will reach out and complain about a crash, and we'll ask for a police report on that to be able to... address their concerns on it.
Okay. I would really advocate or move or do whatever anytime there is a crash like that the city engineer should go on the... Because how are they supposed to...
City traffic engineer?
Yeah, I think that you should be able to know that right away so that you would know what the infrastructure looks like to support that so people don't keep getting hit by cars. I know of a pedestrian that was hit on February 4th and survived, and I mean, I have some of the details, but
which one was that? Where was that at?
I think that's a Liberty and Skyline. It was on February 4th at 7 p.m. The woman was lucky that she lived.
So how thorough are the... So I get those notices through FlashNet, through the police department. So I don't know if they do every single one of those.
They only do fatalities, as I understand. Like, they only are going to alert the public if there's only a fatality. That's what the police chief told me. So they don't report all things that crashes because, I mean, I think there'd be a lot of crashes. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious, I'm curious about all pedestrians hit by cars or near misses, because I think that it's interesting as far as collecting data for you gentlemen to be able to know what's happening here. You went to college and you have this experience that I don't have, but it would seem to me that if you knew where there were hot areas or priority zones, you'd be able to then... accommodate that, and then enforcement could deal with that, right? So if you're talking to each other, then you're going to be able to better protect the citizens, right?
Well, for us, our ability to look at things is not on an individual fatal or injury crash. It's more of a pattern.
Yeah.
So when we look at stuff, and if we do a safety analysis, we look at patterns to see if there's something missing.
You kind of mentioned like 4 or 5 crashes this year, pedestrian vehicle crashes.
Yeah.
Varying. Were they all at the same intersection?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't understand it. I'm asking, is that something like when you have those and you have patterns that are priority areas, that's
for
what
us,
I'm asking for.
For us, these... Yeah.
How do you establish a pattern if you don't have the reports?
I assume that you are receiving summary reports for crashes and accidents, both vehicle and pedestrian, at least counts by intersection of some sort?
No, the crash data that is available to us is through ODOT. And that's about 2 years old, because it takes 2 years to get the DMV reports, crash reports through, and get them processed and uploaded.
Right.
So if something happens
you know, a year ago, you know, we don't have the crash data from last year. It's not available to us yet.
Right.
Nor would we want it. I mean, that's, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents. And, you know, is there a pattern, mm-hmm. you know, really? Is there a particular intersection that is more problematic? And we can look at any intersection in the city, and there's crashes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
they happen. You know, what's the cause? You know, pedestrian wearing dark clothing mm-hmm. on a rainy night.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fix that.
Mm-hmm.
A drunk driver went off the road.
Mm-hmm.
A distracted teenager. A dog ran out in front and they swerved. Those are things that we can't control.
Right. Well, yes. So we're not. So your question is we're not really very proactive because we just don't have staff.
Yeah.
So what we do is generally the public lets us know if there are concerns. And a lot of times some of us say, hey, there was a crash here, and then we'll look at it and we'll pull crash data. So Sunnyview or Sunnyside and
Baxter.
You know, hey, if there was another crash here, then we'll go, okay, let's take a look at that. And if we see a pattern, then yes, we follow up. But if it's an individual, if it's like one crash now and the last crash was 3 or 4 years ago, it's hard for us to say, you know, what's going on. We can look at a lot of the crash reports have cause and effect,
mm-hmm.
you know, so was it a drunk driver? What time of day was it? Was it speed involved? You know, a lot of stuff we can't, there's not a lot we can do, but if we have a lot of off the road at certain places, hey, maybe we need some chevrons here, or maybe we need a curve warning sign, or something like that.
Okay.
But for the most part, we don't get a lot of data in now, because we don't have the ability to really look at the whole city, but we respond to a complaint. If somebody says, hey, there was a crash here, there's been a couple crashes, you know, this is a safety issue, we'll pull the data
mm-hmm.
and
so,
go, okay, this is valid or this is not valid.
As a clarifying question then, you're only getting ODOT data for intersections that you specifically request that's 2 years old, or do you request
periodically? No, it's available.
Okay.
All the crashes that occurred in the city, whether they're intersectional or mid-intersection, is available to us.
But it's always a year and a half old.
Year and a half to 2 years old.
But you have the ability to, is it something that is available as in available and you have to make a request? Is that available as in available and it's through a portal and you have to pull it?
It's a portal.
Gotcha.
It's a portal, click, click, Marion County, City of Salem, you know.
Definitely.
Intersection street, intersection, click, run the report. It has a bunch of numbers and letters that are
sure.
foreign to a lot of people.
Including myself.
We have a decoder ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
You also had mentioned near misses.
Yeah, I did, because I think it's very interesting, and then it always makes me get really frustrated, honestly, because I think that so much is put upon the city traffic engineers and enforcement, and clearly there's not going to be any more money to be able to help that. But I find it interesting that since I was here last, now in Salem Chrysler Public Schools, we've had 4 students hit by cars in the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
And how many have died already this year, pedestrians in Salem, right? I don't even know that number right now. It's probably, hopefully not more than it was last year at this time. So I just find it interesting that, you know, these deaths are happening, and it seems like it is a priority for some people, or people are alarmed by it, or they're not aware of it, but what are people doing about it? And then, yeah, it's back on people that have no capacity, so it comes back on people who, like you guys, or there's not enough police, there's not enough city engineers, but yet we've broken the record. So,
yeah,
like,
well, I mean, the hard thing is, you know, we're dealing with human behavior,
yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there that just don't seem to care.
And we can't engineer good behavior.
No, there's no way to do that. And I think
and
that
near misses can't be counted.
I mean,
it's all anecdotal.
For instance, a lot of the count software, like if I have a traffic count done, they do video counts now, so I can get turning movements. Well, they have, in that software, they have the ability to predict if it's a near miss. So I was watching some data that we took on Davis and Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We did some counts, and so the count company allows me to go in and look at what they're saying are near misses. So I watch a car pull out and another car come by, and they do it, the near miss, they do it by how close those events are coming.
Oh.
Well, so I'm looking at them, and I'm going, if this driver sees this car coming and says I can make it, is that a near miss? I mean, it was a judgment call based on a person doing the right thing, and they didn't get into a hit. They didn't crash. The issue is that with near misses that I'm concerned about is where are people not paying attention and getting, and I can't tell from that data.
Well, I appreciate that with the cars. My example was like children and school zones where that is happening.
I had a near miss today. That's why I was interested in what
I
you
think
said.
And the counts show PEDs and cars coming and how close they get to them. And we saw a lot of cars coming and violating the law by cutting in front of the PED.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they weren't that close to hitting them, but they were illegal. And, if some person, like you would say, that's a near miss. Maybe somebody else would say, no, there's plenty of room. That car wasn't even close to them. So the problem with near misses is it's all related to your perception and your value. Some people are like, I can cut the corner and, I was that far from the curb, but I wasn't close to hitting it. And others will be like,
In that example where the PEDs got the right of way, they got a walk symbol and a car cuts in front of them. Is that a near miss? Yeah, one could consider that, but that's really a law enforcement issue.
Yeah,
that car should have been.
There might be enough meat on this bones to continue this discussion at our next meeting. I'd actually like to see it added to our next agenda, but we're running up against time.
Okay, I have another question. So,
but that being said, I think I would like to formally request that we discuss this in more detail. One thing I think that could assist you guys here when it comes to the subjective nature of a near miss is, whereas the CATC is a very, very literally a resource for that kind of thing, you have leveraged us to help you come up with ways to judge the subjective need of stop signs that aren't meeting warrants. We could also help you develop ways that help you develop some faction to incorporate these near misses that you're capturing with your traffic count data in either video form or in count form. If the very least, not necessarily to figure out at least what to do with that information. I'm aware that you're probably not loving this suggestion on my end.
Well, what I'm going to say is we don't have the bandwidth to do that.
No, they don't.
It's Kevin and Tony.
Yep.
That's it for the city.
Well, we don't have a lot. We don't do a lot of the counts that the city does are the tubes, so I don't do video. It's just we had one of our engineering
an
engineering project for a PED crossing by Davis and Liberty.
I was admittedly assuming that I was talking about something that would be consultant-led, but yes.
Yeah, we don't have resources for that.
No money.
Yes.
There's no money and there's no capacity. And that's, I think, just here at CATC, but that should be every citizen that's out walking on the crosswalks and getting hit with children who are getting hurt in Europe.
Maybe there's the other side to the conversation that maybe the school district needs to implement an education component in kids traveling to school because they have to do it safely.
Well, there is a component.
Well, it is not uncommon for me to be going from point A to point B and have somebody cross the street diagonally in the middle of the block.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's residential, it doesn't matter whether it's commercial, and they really couldn't give a rat's patootie about whether there's a vehicle on the street.
Off, but I think there's still meat left on this bone. I'd like to continue discussing it. And at the very least, yes, I'm aware that money is a limitation, staff time is a limitation. I also am aware that there's been at least some desire to have from the city manager to see what else CATC can do, even if all we can do is provide something advisory as our opinion and maybe a report that we submit to the city council for consideration. That's not necessarily a waste of our time. And frankly, no, if that's what we want to do as counselors, that's our prerogative.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, I talked about the fact that there is desire for CATSI to do more. There still is. It's just taking a long time to get there. I know there's been questions about, you know, having a bike committee. And during that discussion, we're like, well, why have a separate committee? Why don't we roll that into CATSI? So there are ideas for these different things to come through. They're still planning to do that through CATSI. It's just there's so much going on with budget and different things that it's just taking a lot longer to kind of weed through that stuff. So there will be more responsibilities of CATSI. I don't know what that's going to be yet or when it's going to happen, but I wanted to let you guys know that, yes, we're going to have you play bigger roles in the future.
Could I request, process-wise, can you just say what the topic is but we not discuss it?
Yes,
because
please.
I do need to leave to go to the SCAN meeting, so I'm hoping we'll finish at 7.
Yes, I would like to know what the plan is and if there is a formalized plan for when you paint the curbs around schools and school zones that don't have enough painting and curbs. And is there a plan, or has that get requested? Because I know one way it gets requested. Nope. But
okay, I got it. School zone, yellow curb.
Yep.
Yeah. Future topic.
Things around school zones.
Yep. Unless there are any other requests for future topics, seeing none, I will move that we adjourn at 7:01.
Thank you.
Bye.